welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every week I bring you a new episode where I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. And then I also bring you a Friday episode where I get to chat with you about whatever's been on my heart lately. And sometimes, usually once a month or every other month, I bring you a book club episode where I read a book and share what I learned from that book. I might share quotes, I might share discussion points or how it applied to my life. And usually I chat with my friend Stephanie, but today I have the honor of talking with the author of the book that I wanted to feature. 2 months ago, I read the book The Fringe Hours by Jessica Turner. And she is an author that I first found out about when I heard her on a podcast, The Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey, my very favorite podcast. If you haven't already started listening to The Happy Hour, you definitely should. But she's been on The Happy Hour a couple times, and that's how I first found out about her. But I love this concept of The Fringe Hours. The Fringe Hours is talking about making time for you and self-care. And it's not like we can create new pockets of time during the day. We're not going to add hours to our day. We all have the same 24 hours. But if you look at your day, you will find that there are pockets of time that you are wasting. Either you're standing in line, you're waiting at the doctor's office, you are sitting in your car for carpool waiting to pick up your kids from school. Maybe you could wake up a little bit earlier or stay up a little bit later at night. Those are the fringe hours. It's hours that we already have in our arsenal that we're just not using to the maximum potential. And this isn't hours that we should spend, you know, continuing to do for other people. We need to take the time to care for ourselves so that we can care for other people. And one of the quotes from the book is, "This book is for the woman who is doing everything for everyone except herself." And we've talked about self-care on this podcast before, and I think it's a really important topic. For me, I feel a lot of guilt with the aspect of self-care. I feel like, no, I don't really need to be doing whatever it is for myself. I don't need to read that book. I don't need to go get a manicure. I don't need to go on a walk by myself. But when I do those things, it's amazing how even taking just a little bit of time during the day can really affect the overall feeling in my day. I feel a lot happier. I feel more peaceful. I feel like I've definitely taken the time to recharge my own batteries. And in turn, by serving myself for a time, I'm better able to serve others. And so that's what she's saying. It's really important to identify the things that bring us joy and that fill our soul and that really matter to us, and not, you know, pushing those things so far aside just because we have other people that need caring for. But we need to care for ourselves. We need to be on the list as well of people to take care of on any given day. And so I love this idea. She has a lot of great practical tips about, first of all, giving yourself permission to care for yourself and to do those activities that bring you joy and that fill you up. She talks about balance and how she's able to juggle. I mean, she is a busy lady. She founded a lifestyle blog called The Mom Creative. And she is a writer for the Encourage community and advocate for World Vision. She's a speaker. She speaks at blogging conferences nationwide. And she's also a marketing professional. She works full time and she does all this stuff on the side. And she wrote this book. So, and she says that she wrote it in her fringe hours, which is totally amazing. So I hope that today the takeaway is that this isn't one more thing on your to-do list. Self-care shouldn't be one more thing to add. But by really thinking critically about your day and think, okay, I know that I'm going to be waiting in a doctor's office. I should have a book in my purse just ready to go. And then that wait won't be so bad. Or, you know, whatever it is that lights you up. I woke up early this morning before my husband left for work so I could go on a walk. And yes, I can walk later with my kids, but I felt like, you know what? I need some fresh air first thing in the morning and I need some time alone. And so I walked for 30 minutes. And just to toot my own horn a little bit, I'm not a runner, but I even started jogging at some point. Not to pat myself on the back, but I'm going to because that never happens. But today it did. So just identifying, okay, how can I use the 24 hours that I've been given to the best of my ability and to not have to be super productive at all times, but to do things that not only accomplish something during the day, but attending to things that you really enjoy. And when you do that, you will just feel happier and more ready to serve with love the people around you. So I'm excited to talk with Jessica about this book, to find out why she wrote it, what some of her major takeaways were from it, and some practical advice for all of you about identifying those things that you can do in your fringe hours that will really add value to your life. Okay, so let's talk with Jessica and let's see what she has to say about the fringe hours. Jessica, hi, welcome to the podcast.
Hey there, thanks so much for having me.
I'm just thrilled. Well, from the time that I read the book, I'm just like, okay, I feel like I'm totally on the same page as Jessica. You know, we're busy moms, we, you know, want to do things for ourselves, but it's like, how do we fit it all in? And so when I found this book, the title is The Fringe Hours. It's like, okay, I have fringe hours. I don't have a lot of hours, but I have fringe hours where I can like do things for me that fill my soul and make me not just feel depleted at the end of every day.
Right, right. I'm often asked, why did you write this book?
Yeah.
And really the genesis of it was that people were always asking me, how am I doing it all?
Right.
And it wasn't really that I'm doing it all. My house is chaotic. You know, I have the same amount of time as everybody else. But really what it was in those pockets of time, those fringe hours that others often don't use at all, or they just kind of pass by, I was really leveraging those to do the things that I loved. And it was making a huge difference in my life. And so I wrote the book to equip other women to recognize these bits of time in their own lives and hopefully help them find a little more time for themselves, because self-care is so important, especially for moms.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what I was going to ask is, were you already good at this, or is this something that you had to work on too?
Yes, I guess I was good at it, because people were asking me that, it was something that they saw. But I always have been a morning person. I always have made time for myself. I've always made time for my passion, sometimes to, you know, the detriment of dusting and clean floors in my house.
Yeah.
But it was always something that was of value to me. And I think it's because I was raised that way. It was something that was of value to my mom. I remember her painting when I would go to bed. She would be sitting at the kitchen table working on crafts and doing that sort of thing. And so I think it's something that I recognize, even though I wouldn't have been able to articulate it, from a very early age. And so once I had kids, certainly my time constraints were different, and that available time that I had to have some of those creative pursuits and practice self-care looked different, but it still was a priority to me. And what I found was that a lot of women, especially once they had children, were not making that self-care a priority.
Right. And you almost feel like you need somebody to give you permission in order to pay attention to yourself.
Absolutely.
Right?
A lot of people call the fringe hours a permission slip. And
yes.
I love that description, because I do think that we sometimes just need somebody to say, it's okay. You can do this. This is appropriate. You know, we have such a hard time, I think, with comparison today,
mm-hmm.
and looking at what everyone else is doing, that sometimes it can be difficult to look at our own lives and say, you know what? This is something that I need. I don't care if I don't see her doing it. This is something that I need to do for myself. It's that oxygen mask philosophy, right? That if we are having to put that oxygen on for ourselves before we can take care of those around us. And that's so true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I told my friend the other day, you know, when the kids go to bed at night, sometimes my to-do list is not done. But if I'm just feeling kind of done, I don't really care that dusting could be done or there's more, you know, laundry that could be attended to. If I feel like reading a book, I'm going to do it. And she was like shocked by that. And she's like, could I do that too? I'm like, of course you can. Like, you can always choose. And the laundry will still be there tomorrow. There's certain things that are have to's during the day, but we have a lot of discretion over how we spend our time. And if by the end of the day, you are feeling burned out and like you don't want to do it again tomorrow because you're just serving and going and going, 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 you have to look at that and say, what needs to change in order for me to look forward to tomorrow?
Absolutely.
You know?
And those fringe hours are going to look different for each of us,
yes.
depending on if you are a mom who stays at home with your kids, if you're a work-at-home mom, if you work outside the home, if it's some combination of that. And so I think one of the challenges, first and foremost, is to identify when that time is available to
mm-hmm.
you. And so if that's something that you struggle with, just for the moms listening, I would encourage you to track your time for a week. Really simple, just like you track what you eat or you track your activity. Go ahead and go to FrenchHours.com. There's a free download on there, and you just literally write down everything you're doing over the course of a week. And it's amazing when you see on paper all the things that you're doing and the gaps that you maybe have in your time or how you're choosing to spend your time. Yep. You know, I had a friend who once said to me, Jessica, I don't want to track my time because I don't want to know how much time I spend looking at Taylor Swift's Instagram. And I loved that. But that's true. When we document it, you know, you can't argue with what's there, but it can be abundantly clear where you have those pockets of time or where you need to say no to some things so that you do have some pockets of time.
Yeah, it's kind of like tracking what you eat. Like, right? No one wants to see on paper right in front of them what they ate during the day. But, you know, it's like blaringly apparent, like, oh, is that why I'm not losing weight? Or is that why I feel so sluggish? Oh, you know. So, right. But we're resistant to doing those things because change can be hard. Even Absolutely. If we know the benefit might be positive.
Right.
I don't know. Why are we so resistant to that if we want a better life? You know, I mean, I don't know if anybody has the answer.
I do think that even the idea of tracking your time can feel daunting for people.
Yeah.
It also can feel like, oh, this isn't the perfect week to do this. I have company coming to town, or it's the last week of school, or my kids have more soccer this week than normal, or whatever. And right. To those women, I say, just do it anyway. You'll still get a baseline because you're still going to have the drop-offs and the meals and the laundry and the work and all of those things that you'll still get a sense of where your time is going and where you can maybe make some adjustments.
Absolutely. And you work full time. So for moms listening that maybe are employed full time, tell me what your fringe hours look like. Where do you find those pockets of time?
Sure. So key fringe hour opportunities are first thing in the morning, at lunch, in the afternoon, in the evening, and times of waiting. Those are kind of where people identify fringe hours.
Yep.
For me, having a traditional 9 to 5, I find that time really early in the morning, oftentimes before my kids wake up. I have a friend who once said, how you spend your 5 to 9 determines how you spend your 9 to 5.
Ooh, and I like that.
That is such a brilliant statement. I wish I could claim it as my own. But that philosophy, again, of pouring into yourself first before you pour into others and all the other roles that you have, I think is really important, regardless of whether or not you work outside the home. So I try to take some time for myself first thing in the morning. I often will read while I'm blow drying my hair in the morning. So I even get a few minutes then while I'm getting ready. And then while I'm driving to work, I'll often listen to an audiobook or a podcast. So I'm mm-hmm. getting some time there that kind of feeds me and inspires me and encourages me. And then lunch times are a big one for me. So I get an hour break at lunch and I always leave the office. And I think that's so important for my job, for me to reset, to get that time away. And it's also important for me personally. Sometimes I'm using those lunch hours to run errands so that I will have free time during a different point in my day or a different point in my week. Other times I'm using those lunch hours for something for me. Yesterday I went to lunch and I took a book that I'm reading that I'm just really loving and I wanted a little extra time. And so I sat quietly at a table at Chipotle and enjoyed my bowl of Mexican and read a book for 35 minutes.
What book is it? I like book recommendations.
It is I Let You Go,
Ooh.
Which is a brand new book. I think it's new in the U.S. I don't think it's super new because it says on the front of it, international bestseller.
Okay.
It's written by an author who's in England, and it is fantastic. I got it from Book of the Month, which is my current obsession. It's a subscription service where you get one new awesome book every month, and you get to choose from 5. And so
I
love it. Yeah. So on the first of every month, they release what the 5 book choices are, and then they ship, I think, on like the 8th. And so on the first,
cool.
I'm so excited to get to pick my book. So that was this month's book, and I'm really loving it. So
I love that. Yes. I just finished Me Before You. Have you read
this? Oh, okay.
This?
I have not read that.
You probably recognize it's a red cover.
Yes,
with
I'm
like,
very familiar with it. I just haven't read
it. It is so good. I was sad when it was done.
Oh,
I love books
so
like
great.
That.
Yes, I love books like that. I think that's how this book will be. I am really loving it. So anyway, I read my book and then the drive home, obviously time again for myself and then kids and dinner and baths and all of that. And then a little time in the evening. So there's definitely those opportunities. You just have to harness them and decide how am I going to spend this time. And then, you know what, this morning I was up at 4:45 because that's when my baby woke up, and I'd like to get up around 5 o'clock. And so I threw a load of laundry in, and then I did some writing, and then the laundry was done and I put it in the dryer, and then I did a little more laundry and a little more reading. And so, you know, there's still time to do the chores and kind of some of those other things as well.
Right. I feel like people may think that you are just a superwoman who can do all these things. Do you plan ahead a lot for these activities? Because it sounds like you're just like boom, 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 one after another, and you're not wasting any time, which is great. But for some people, they may take more time to process or organize. How do you plan out your day, or do you?
I think that it is important for you to be prepared for when fringe hours happen.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I hate to be stuck with time and not have something that I can do for myself.
I don't
want to just be scrolling on my phone. I didn't mention this, but I did a survey when I wrote the Fringe Hours, where I surveyed 2,000 women about how they spend their time, what they're passionate about, what their struggles are. And one of the things that I found in the research was that the number one thing that women wanted to do was read. Mm-hmm. If they had more Fringe Hours, they said that they would read, yes, which is great for me to talk about in these types of interviews, because reading is one of my favorite things and one of my favorite things to do in my Fringe Hours. And so a huge opportunity for reading is in times of waiting. On average, we wait 45 to 60 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, when I went to Chipotle, they were out of chicken. And so we stood in line for like 10 minutes while they finished cooking the chicken and chopping it. And thankfully, I had my book with me. Everybody else around me was looking at their phones or talking to whom they were with.
Yeah.
But nobody else had a book open. Now, there might have been some people who were looking at their phones and reading their Kindle app, which I think is an opportunity right there. Instead of scrolling through Instagram, why not open that Kindle app and read a few pages? It's amazing how, yes, much more books you can read when you just are reading on your phone something that you want to read instead of just scrolling mindlessly through social media. So I definitely am intentional and am prepared for those times. And I also, you know, I mentioned this morning that I threw that laundry in, but really during that first hour when I am making that time for myself, I don't do a whole bunch of chores, because I think, number one, it's important for my children to see me doing chores and for them to be involved in the chores.
Yeah.
I can't read when they're around, right? Mm-hmm. But I can fold laundry.
Right.
So I'm really intentional about, okay, 5 to 6, I want to get a blog post done. I want to get some photo editing done. I'm going to do that. Now, it took me, you know, 30 seconds to put the soap in the laundry. I filled the washing machine the night before so that I could start it as soon as I woke up. So I'm fine with doing those types of things, but I'm also really intentional about saying, this is my time, and I'm not going to do other things that might be pressing, because right now this is the time that I need to invest in myself.
I like that, really planning ahead. And if you look at your life and say, okay, I want to read, I need to do laundry, I need to dust, I need to vacuum, what things can be done in the presence of your kids? What things are going to take a long time? What things are going to take 10 minutes? And then kind of puzzle piecing it all together. And it doesn't have to be a perfect outline of your day, and it doesn't have to go according to plan necessarily. But just saying, when I get up, you're going to waste a lot of time just laying there like, do I get up? Do I not? Do I start the laundry? Do I have time? You don't want to waste all that time processing. Think, you know, a step ahead the night before. Think about your day and what that's going to look like. Where are your times of waiting? Do I have the book in my purse already? Because, yeah, you don't want to be stuck in that line and be like, right, darn it, my book's in my car. I should have had
absolutely
my purse. Plan ahead. It's kind of like packing lunches the night before or laying out your clothes. Whatever it is that helps you to set yourself up for success, whether it be the productive things or just the enjoyable things, you want to do those things.
Absolutely. You just want to be thinking about, how can I use my time the best? We're all given the same 24 hours in a day. So what can I do to really steward this time well? And some of that is as simple as me putting that laundry in the night before, not starting it, but just having it there so that it's ready to go, so I don't have to think about it, laying out my clothes, that sort of thing. And other times it's just saying, you know what, I'm not going to worry about that right now. That doesn't need to be a priority. I'm putting that pressure on myself to get that done, but nobody else is coming in here and saying, oh, this isn't done, or that sort of thing. So I think being okay, you know, that good enough is the new perfect,
yes,
and being kind of okay with that philosophy is also very freeing.
Absolutely. Oh, you're speaking my language. I love that. I love that. So I think this is a podcast for moms. And I think that sometimes when you become a mom, you kind of lose your identity and you kind of stop dreaming or kind of push your dreams to the side or stop having the time to pursue your hobbies, and you kind of forget what lights you up. How would you suggest moms who feel a little disillusioned by just being so in the motherhood role, how would you suggest they find those things that light them up again, or that, you know, they can do in their fringe hours?
Sure. It was amazing to me when I conducted the survey, it hadn't even crossed my mind that there were people out there who had no idea what they would be passionate about. Mm. But it was a surprising amount of women who said, it has been so long since I did anything for myself, I don't even know where to begin. And so if that's you, then I would say, think about a couple things. Think about your childhood. What is it that you loved to do as a child? And there's probably some iteration, if not the exact same thing, that you can do in adulthood that would bring you joy. Mm-hmm. Ask your friends. Ask what they're interested in, but also ask what they think you might have an interest in.
Yeah.
I oftentimes find that the people that I gravitate to, I gravitate toward them because we have similar personalities and dispositions, and the things that they enjoy doing in their free time are things that I would enjoy doing in my free time. So ask your friends, ask your spouse, you know, what is it that you think I might like? Go on a site like Craftsy, which is Craftsy, and it is a site that has dozens and dozens of courses and every sort of creative pursuit imaginable, and see what sparks your interest. Take one of them. They've got free courses on there, so there's no investment. What interests you? What interests you when you're on Pinterest? What are you pinning? Are you pinning lots of recipes? Are you pinning craft projects? Are you pinning books? Are you pinning how-to guides? Maybe just try one of those projects. Don't be so overwhelmed by the plethora of options. Start small. Start with just one thing. Start with something that you can do in an hour or 2 hours. And then just go from there. Just build on that. You know, the whole concept of the fringe hours is that we have a lot of small pockets of time, but that doesn't mean that you can't take a larger pocket. And I encourage that, you know, take a Saturday afternoon, say, you know what, I'm going to get a babysitter for the kids, or I'm going to ask my spouse to hold down the fort while I go and do X, Y, Z. And you will come back being so refueled, rejuvenated, and happy and satisfied. And that will have a positive ripple effect on your marriage, on your kids, on your, just your whole home's outlook.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have this list of people that we want to serve and love on during the day, but we're not on the list. So we need to get ourselves back on that list of people that are important. You are important, and you deserve to be cared for, just like everybody else.
And you shouldn't feel guilty about it. And that's something that I know a lot of women really deal with,
is
feeling guilt for that practice of self-care. And it's not something that should be there.
Yeah.
And it is oftentimes, I think, self-imposed. And sometimes, you know, it might be our kids saying, Mommy, I don't want you to go do that. Or, you know, I'll travel for a girls' weekend away, and they'll say, Mommy, I don't want you to go. And I'll say to them, Mommy really wants to spend some time with her friends. Just like you guys get to spend time with your friends, this is something that's important for Mommy. And it's actually really good behavior to model for our children, that they see us taking care of ourselves, mm-hmm. so that then when they grow up and they're working adults, that they're taking care of themselves, that they don't just think that they have to do it all because they saw their mom doing it all,
yep.
and that they never saw their mom stopping, that they never saw their mom reading or writing or drawing or exercising. All of those things are really important. Tonight, I'm going to a bar class. It's at 5 o'clock, so I'm leaving work a few minutes early, and then I'm going to go straight to this class, and so it's going to mean that I get home about 30 minutes later than I normally do, and I know I'm going to hear about it, but it's important for my kids to know that Mommy's taking care of her body, mm-hmm. and that exercise is important. And in the scheme of things, that 30 minutes is not going to matter. Yes, we get 30 less minutes tonight, but over the course of their lifetimes, mm-hmm. it's not a big deal. It is not something to feel guilty over.
Well, yeah, and you never want to become that martyr mom that is just going, going, serving, serving, and yet you are kind of doing so with like resentment a little bit. I see a lot of moms walking around with bitterness just because they, I don't know, like they're not taking care of themselves properly. And because they're doing everything for everybody and they're not allowed to take care of themselves, that's the projection they're putting onto their kids. And your kids want a happy mom. Your kids want a fulfilled mom. And so if you're constantly, you know, depleted, you're not going to be the best version of yourself for them.
Absolutely. And I think that's really important as we kind of go into the summer season. Mm-hmm. I know my kids' last day of school is tomorrow. My friends on the East Coast, their kids aren't out for a month. But whenever that kind of summer is hitting for you, to be even more intentional about that, because, you know, when we're kids, yeah. we're like, oh, it's summertime. We're going to do all of these fun things. But as a mom, I now recognize that summer is actually really hard, right? Right. You've got to juggle summer camp and childcare, especially with being a working mom. Like, I've got to figure out where are my kids going to go when I don't have daycare anymore, you know? Right. And so it can be stressful, and it can be a season where moms aren't great about taking care of themselves, but yeah. go to the pool with your kids and have fun, enjoy right. it, get in the water with them, or, you know, go to the park and bring a book and let them run around and enjoy some time to read during that time when they're playing, you know, still be intentional about that, even though your schedule might look a little different than it does during the school year.
Absolutely. What was your favorite part about writing this book?
In addition to doing the survey, I interviewed 50 women. Mm-hmm. And each of those interviews was about 30 minutes. And I think being able to dig deep into some of the different topics that I was covering and hearing yeah. their stories was really fascinating for me. And I love just how the Fringe Hours came together, that it isn't just my story of how I find Fringe Hours, but yeah. it's the stories of so many women that I really feel like what came out of the process, the finished book, is a book that is very relatable to women, married, single, kids, no kids. Well, certainly there's, I think, a more of a mom bent just because that is the vantage point that I'm writing from.
Yeah.
I do feel like it really equips women in all sorts of seasons. And I think that that happened because I talked to so many women and got so many different perspectives. And so I loved that whole process of kind of the puzzle pieces coming together for the finished book.
Yeah, it's a very well-researched book. I mean, you might think you could just write it from your own vantage point, but it's so much deeper because you surveyed so many women and there's individual stories that you reference and things. That's part of what makes the book so awesome, I think.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's great. So what's coming up for you in this next year? Are you continuing to write? I mean, obviously summer's on the horizon, so that changes things up.
Sure. So a few things. One, at the very end of last year, the companion book to The Fringe Hours released called My Fringe Hours. And it's for the woman who doesn't have time to read, doesn't want to read, isn't a reader at all, or wants to dive deeper into the topics of the Fringe Hours and kind of do a more personal manifesto. It has lots of questions and space for journaling and that sort of thing. So that came out at the end of the year. So it's been really fun kind of seeing the two books side by side.
Yeah.
We're just continuing to talk about the message. I'm doing more and more speaking, which is really fun for me.
Yeah.
Talking is, I think, my favorite thing to do, even more than writing. And so I'm really enjoying speaking at conventions and churches and women's events and that sort of thing, just talking about this important message of self-care and work-life balance and what that looks like. So I'm doing a lot of that, particularly in the fall. So I think we'll enjoy summer, then speaking in the fall. And then kind of throughout that, of course, I'm still writing on the Mom Creative and have a lot of fun brand partnerships that I'm doing and craft projects and parties that I'm throwing and things like that. So I'll be keeping busy with that as well.
I would say so. Wow. Well, I just want to thank you for writing this book and for, giving me that permission slip to take the time to not feel guilty about taking care of myself, because like you said, reading has been my thing, that by picking that up more and making that a priority, I always have a book in my purse. It was The Fringe Hours for a while. And,
awesome.
And even if you just have 5 minutes, you don't need huge pockets of time. If you have the time for that, great. But even just the time in the doctor's office, the carpool line, you will find you have that idle time and you're so glad you're using your time wisely, doing something fun for yourself.
Right. And, you know, The Fringe Hours is not a book about doing more. And I think that's really important for women to recognize that it's not about doing more. It's about being more. It's about being more fulfilled, more creative, more alive. And I think that when you are intentional with your own self-care and you're making time for the things that you're passionate about, that is the natural result that happens. So it isn't all about time efficiency. It's just about, how am I using the time that I'm given to bring joy to my life that then can be an outpouring to all of the other people and responsibilities that I have in my life?
That's a great point. Well, Jessica, it's been such a pleasure talking with you. I always end my interviews with one final question, and it's this. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
I would tell my pre-motherhood self to go to more movies because we never go to the movies movies anymore. And I don't think I realized how much I loved going to the movies. And I would just say, go to the movies, because you're just not going to do it much when you are a mom, because it's like $200 after a babysitter.
I know, right?
The whole thing, right? So go to more movies. That's what I would say.
I love that. That is a fabulous answer. Jessica, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me on the Extraordinary Moms podcast.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having
me. You're awesome. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that Jessica just sounds like a superwoman who can do it all. But I think the point is that we all have our own capacity and our own vision for what we want our life to look like. And she is a highly passionate, productive, efficient type person who obviously is very well aware of how to manage her time well in order to accomplish a zillion things during the day. So the point of this podcast and the point of the Fringe Hours is not that you have to jam pack your day full of things, but it's the fact that are you doing the things that light you up and create enjoyment for yourself during the day? Are you just serving other people constantly and neglecting yourself? Or are you kind of balancing the needs of everyone around you, including yourself? And there's a season for everything. It's super hard when you're up all night long with a nursing baby like I am. It's hard to get up early in the morning before your kids because A, you don't know what time that's going to be. And B, you've already been up so much during the night that it's like, do I have to get up even earlier just to do something fun? I mean, sleep sounds like fun. And there is that season. There's a quote in her book that says, "I learned that when the baby not sleeping phase passed, I could use my time better. With just a few changes to my schedule, I could have more time to do what I loved and be a happier person." The point is not to add more things to your to-do list, but it's to create a happier version of yourself and to do the things that really fill you with joy. And so for some people, that might be cooking. And I love that idea that she had about what are you pinning on Pinterest? Is it art stuff? Is it DIY, you know, things for your home? Is it cooking? Is it reading? Is it exercising? The list could go on and on. But you don't want to just do the things that you think you're supposed to be doing, or you don't want to compare yourself against another mom and say, well, if I was doing that, I'd be a better mom. No, do the things that are really authentic to who you are and what your priorities are. And when you fill your Fringe Hours with those types of activities, that is when you'll be the happiest version of yourself. She says, "We are all busy. The heart of the Fringe Hours is finding underused pockets of time in your schedule and utilizing them for yourself. As you begin to practice self-care in these small increments, you will likely begin to carve out larger chunks of time for yourself as a regular part of your lifestyle." So one of the things that I thought was, well, yeah, there's lots of things I'd love to do if I had all the time and all the money available to me. I'd love to get my nails done on a regular basis. I'd love to go get my hair blown out. I'd love to, you know, X, Y, or Z. But I mean, the fact is I don't live near family right now, so I don't have the luxury of free babysitting. Thanks, Mom. And so I can't, you know, pay for a babysitter all the time and then also pay for an activity. But think about the free activities or low-cost hobbies that you can pursue. Sometimes it's just going on a walk. Like I said, I got up earlier this morning when my husband was still home. The kids were just waking up, but I didn't need to be there for that part. They could be milling about and getting their cereal and everything. But I went on a walk for half an hour and came back. And, you know, by 7 o'clock in the morning, I already had exercise done that even if I am not able to go above and beyond doing an official quote workout, at least I got that done, you know? So I felt really good about that start to my day. It's about taking advantage of those pockets of time that you already have in your 24-hour day that you're just underutilizing. And when you can use those small pockets of time and when it's available, the larger pockets of time, where you can do something that is fun for you and enjoyable for you. That is the beauty of the Fringe Hours. And I love that. Another point that she made was about saying no. and how sometimes we can get bombarded with people asking more things of us. And especially if you're already a person that volunteers for a lot of things and you're very, very capable. And I know a lot of my listeners fall into that category. You're awesome moms. You are awesome at so many different things. You have an amazing skill set to contribute. Your tendency might be to overextend yourself and say yes to everybody, whether you're a people pleaser or whether you just enjoy being busy and enjoy engaging in lots of activities, whatever your reason is. Sometimes we can say yes way too much, and because of that, our fringe hours are lessened, or we may have our fringe hours taken up with activities that really aren't life-giving to us, but they are just more centered upon continuing to serve other people. And while that's all good and well, you want to preserve those times of filling your own bucket and of taking care of yourself. And so sometimes you do have to say no. And when you say no to somebody else, you're able to say yes to yourself. When it comes to the babysitter thing, you know, if you don't want to pay for a babysitter, find another mom who would love to swap kids with you. You know, whether it's 2 hours in the morning or a date night on a Friday night, swap kids, and one of you watch them 1 week and one of you watch them the other week, then you get a free babysitting opportunity and you can go use that time however you want. You know, you can use it for exercising or date night with your husband or going to see a movie unaccompanied. You know, it's important to realize you don't have to spend money. You can get creative in order to carve out some maybe larger pockets of time for yourself that are beyond the 5 to 20 minutes that you may find on any given day. But if you want a 2-hour pocket of time, switch with a friend, and I bet they'll be just as excited as you are to get some alone time. So that's the book, The Fringe Hours, and I hope that this kind of piqued your interest. As always, on theextraordinarymomspodcast.com, I'll have all the links to everything, to the book, to any of the resources that Jessica mentioned in our conversation. And so if you head over to the podcast in the show notes, you'll be able to get hooked up with all of those links as well. But my hope is that you will carve out some time for yourself, that not only will you be able to carve out that time, but you'll find that there's time that already exists that you just aren't utilizing. And that instead of feeling like, oh, I should be picking up the toys, no, have your kids pick up the toys and you pick up a book and you sit down and you read and you enjoy. Make sure to put a book in your purse if you know you're on the go. Or if it's not that, maybe a cookbook. Or, you know, allowing a little extra time during the dinner time hours, you can try a new recipe. Whatever lights you up, whatever you enjoy. I'm a fan of multitasking as well. So while I'm doing something like laundry that's less desirable, I'm also listening to a podcast or a book on tape. So, book on tape. How old am I? A book on CD or Audible or whatever you listen to books on. Oh man. But anyways, I just hope that you will take care of yourself. And because when you take care of yourself, you will better be able to take care of those that you love. And when you're a happy version of yourself, that is what your kids will remember. They're not going to remember the super skinny mom. They're not going to remember how neat and tidy the house was. They're not going to remember every new recipe that you tried and every beautiful presentation, every, you know, perfectly orchestrated birthday party. No, they're not going to remember all of those things. They're going to remember that you were fun, that you laughed, that you played with them, that you enjoyed them, and that you enjoyed your own life. They're going to model. They are going to do what we show them. If we're reading, they're going to learn to value reading. If we want them to take care of their bodies, we need to model good health and exercise and healthy eating. So The Fringe Hours by Jessica Turner, I definitely recommend it. And yeah, don't stress out like, oh no, there's more stuff on my to-do list. Now I have to take care of me. No, that's not it. Think of one thing today that you would just really enjoy. And even if you just had 5 minutes to do that thing, what would you be so glad that you did, even for 5 or 10 minutes? And then find that pocket of time during the day where you can do that thing. And I guarantee that it will light you up and fill you up and just create a happier day for yourself. So as always, you can head over to the website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com, for any more information. You can also find me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3, on Facebook at The Extraordinary Moms Podcast. And I just want to thank you for joining us on today's book club episode. This was super fun, and I hope that if this book sounds interesting to you, you will pick it up. But if nothing else, find a way to use your fringe hours today. I'll see you for Friday's episode. Have a great week, everybody.